Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37. Daniel chapter 4 verse 37.
Daniel chapter 4 verse 37 reads this way. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you so much, Lord, for your word, for the light and the guidance that it brings into our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight. Lord, that we would be yielded in your hands, that you might direct us to understand your wisdom, Lord, your truth, and that we might walk in it. Lord, bless us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would empower our lives to walk uprightly in a way that would honor and glorify you and point lost souls to you for salvation. Bless, Lord, Northwood Baptist Church, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "Those That Walk in Pride, He is Able to Abase." Those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. And sometimes, in some points maybe, that might sound a little scary, but really it's a good thing when God humbles us. Amen? When God humbles us, He allows us to understand who He is and how He works. It was a good thing for God to humble Peter, wasn't it? It was a good thing for God to humble all the disciples that followed after Him. And it's also a tremendous thing that He humbled Nebuchadnezzar, or he would have never gotten saved. I'm convinced here chapter 4 shows his salvation here, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. We're going to look at four thoughts quickly tonight. And the first one is the testimony of God's grace, and then the unseen problem of pride, and then thirdly, the inability of dealing with pride without God. There's no ability to do that. And then, of course, the work of God to understand God, which gives us a testimony of the Lord in our lives. And so we'll learn some interesting things here tonight, I'm convinced. Let me back you up to verse 1 here, and we're not going to go through the whole chapter. It's a pretty lengthy chapter, but we're going to kind of skip through some important parts here and just point out some truths. And of course, there's always many more truths in the Word of God in this one chapter here. You go back, look at it, and God will lift up some more amazing things. But, you know, when we consider Daniel, he was a very godly man, was he not? He honored the Lord with his whole life, and I do want you to know that God even talked about, I think in the book of Ezekiel, that even if Daniel, one of the three that were mentioned, I think Daniel, Job, and Noah were mentioned there concerning their testimonies about the Lord God, that they would not escape, even if they were in their time that he was talking about. So what I'm trying to say tonight is that Daniel was a man greatly used of the Lord, greatly submitted before the Lord. But here's the important truth. He was human, right? He was not perfect. He was a human being, but he was faithful to a spectacular degree. I mean, he is a tremendous biblical example that we ought to follow, right? If we would come close, if we would even accomplish half of what he accomplished, I think we'd be leaps and bounds for the glory of God. Our lives would count tremendously for his honor and glory. But let's back up here to verse 1, and notice what it says here. "Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you." Every time I read that, I'm reminded of Paul, right? You remember, he always says that peace be multiplied unto you. And I'm no doubt convinced this is the Holy Spirit working in his heart and mind. He's in unison with the Lord here. And notice what it says. "I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me." So I want you to know, this is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people. He's the one that it's like Daniel said, okay, King Nebuchadnezzar, you write this chapter, right? Handed him the pen. And no doubt the Holy Spirit's involved here. Notice what he says here. "How great are his signs." He's honoring and glorifying the Lord. "And how mighty are his wonders." Isn't that amazing? He's ascribing this to the Lord, because before salvation, we really look to ourselves. Before we understand the Lord, we lean to our own understanding. In fact, Peter did many times. I like to use him as a reference because he told the Lord he shouldn't go to the cross. And the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because thou savorest not the things that be of God." And I would dare say Peter loved the Lord, but the Lord at that particular point was telling him, "You don't savor the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You're thinking like a man thinks, and you're not thinking like the Lord thinks." And God has given to us His Holy Spirit. He's given to us His Word so that we would not think like man thinks, but that we would think in a way that God would have us to think, to honor and glorify Him and to enjoy the wonderful blessings that God has for each and every one of us. Look at verse 4. "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace." So here's the unseen problem of pride. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to be a tremendous sport about it, if you will, to tell us exactly where his heart and mind was at. And by the Holy Spirit also, he's going to also reveal to us where Daniel was at. Now, there's no critique really here of Daniel. What we are going to see, Daniel did not fail the Lord here, but what we are going to see is the humanness of Daniel, and here in just a minute. But look at verse 5. He said, "I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me." So the Lord, we know, if you know the story, we know the Lord gave him this dream so that Daniel would be able to interpret it. And so, and by the way, it was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. So here's this unseen problem of pride. Look at verse 6. "Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon." Now, if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar already had a dream, and Daniel revealed that dream to him in chapter 2. And the king said to Daniel, "The truth, it is your God, your God is a God of gods." So you would think the man was saved, right? Because he was honoring the Lord. He's in verse 47 of chapter 2, he says, "Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and that and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." So the work that God did through Daniel by giving him this interpretation of the dream proved to Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel's God was the God of gods. But he was not saved. You'd say, "Oh my goodness, what a testimony. He knows the Lord now." But no, he doesn't know the Lord yet. And so he's got this other dream now. And notice what happens in verse 7 of chapter 4. "Then came the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers." Needless to say, he had a slew of advisors, if you will, that could help him. "And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God," lowercase g, and "in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods," lowercase, "is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof." So here's this unseen problem. And we're going to see a little bit more of that here in just a moment. So he's got this problem, it would appear so, but God is at work to bring him to salvation. But how is it that God brings everybody? How does everybody have to come to the Lord for salvation? In humility. God humbles us that we might see his need. He humbles us in a way that he shows us, you know what? Our sins have separated him. We're lost and undone. And then for the first time, we see that we are naked and undone before the Lord. And we say, "Oh, Lord, I need you. I believe in you. And I put my faith or my trust in you, in what you did for me to give me eternal life." And so in this particular case, God is still working with him. But now God tells Daniel the dream here. And look at verse 19 of chapter 4. And this is the inability of dealing with pride without God. Notice this interpretation that Daniel reveals to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19. "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour." So here he is, and he got the interpretation, but he was taken by the interpretation, or we would say he was floored by the interpretation. It troubled him. And notice what he says here. And his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. And notice Belteshazzar answered and said, so remember, he wasn't speaking for an hour. So maybe the king saw something like this. There's Daniel, and all of a sudden he's getting the revelation of what this dream means. And then his mouth probably dropped open. For an hour, he was probably like, I can't believe this. He was dismayed because he had a relationship with Nebuchadnezzar. They had grown, no doubt, fond of each other. There was a little bit of disconnect there, why he didn't call in Daniel first and he called in these other soothsayers and astrologers. But notice now the king says, listen, you go ahead and speak. And maybe the king picked up because of Daniel's expression that he didn't want to give the king bad news. And the king says, don't worry about it. Let me have it. Amen. That's a good place to be when we're facing the Lord and we say, Lord, let me have it. Tell me the truth. I want to know what you have to say. I don't want to cherry coat it or you know, candy coat it and make it all palatable. Just give it to me straight that I might stand right before you. So he says, don't worry about it. And Belteshazzar answered there in verse 19, my Lord, the dream be to thee that hate thee. He's just starting to wind up to tell him what's going on. And the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Look at verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven. And notice this, and the sight thereof to all the earth. Then drop down to verse 22. It is thou. I'm not going to go through the interpretation just for the sake of time. But he was telling him, this dream that you saw, it's about you. And so there's probably some quiet going on right there and some digesting going on. Go over to verse 27 right there. Notice what it says there in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. So listen, here's what Daniel is saying. He's saying, it breaks my heart that this is about you. And see, he knows the faithfulness of the Lord, and he knew that this was almost, if you would say, inevitable, that it was going to take place. And here's his counsel, Daniel's counsel to the king here in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. But here's the problem. He was a fallen man. He was not redeemed, see? So even if he did that externally, there was an internal problem. And we'll see how God deals with that. So he says, and by the way, this is the human part of Daniel. Because really, Daniel is the one, my goodness, you remember the first time in chapter 2, they threatened everybody. They were all going to be put to death. And Daniel said, hey, he was cool, calm, and collective when it was about him. He said, listen, give me some time. We'll pray about it, and we'll get the king his answer. I'm just kind of paraphrasing right there of what happened. But in this particular case, he probably knew that Nebuchadnezzar did not have that relationship. Daniel was almost saying, if it's on me, I can take care of it. I've got a working relationship with the Lord. But I'm concerned about Nebuchadnezzar because he does not have the same relationship that I have with the Lord. But the Lord was in control, knowing his heart and wanting really to bless Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. So again, he says, verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So that's what Daniel was after. He knew, because he was going to be like a wild beast for 7 years, right? And so that was the interpretation of the dream. He was not going to do that. And Daniel was trying to spare him. Look at verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. The whole lowdown he got. And then notice what happens here, verse 29. At the end of 12 months, look at the patience of God. Look how God works. He gave Nebuchadnezzar this interpretation and gave him a whole year to really contemplate this. And he was contemplating this because remember, this is the end of 12 months. And look at Nebuchadnezzar's resolve after 12 months of thinking about. And by the way, he knew that when Daniel gave the lowdown on a dream, it was true, wasn't it? And so he thought about this for 12 months, and he walked, verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Notice verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? You see the pride? Oh, no, no. Nebuchadnezzar, you were set up by God. But he says, I've done this. And notice, for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Listen to this. Look at verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and the dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen 7 times that 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Did you hear that? God is the one that rules in the... And nobody... Listen, we read that in the book of Romans, remember? God sets up governments. He sets up the authorities, but the Lord did it. And by the way, the Lord set up King Nebuchadnezzar as a lost man. But in this particular case, he brings him to salvation. That's a wonderful thing. So Daniel is saying, oh no, I don't want this to happen to you. That's the human part of Daniel. I'm not discrediting him at all. He's a great man to follow his example in his relationship with the Lord. But this needed to take place to bring Nebuchadnezzar to where he would receive the Lord and walk like a brand new man in a relationship with the Lord. So let's just finish this up here. And we'll be finished here. Look at verse 34 in this chapter here. And it says this. And at the end of the days, and by the way, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is giving this testimony. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Did you see that? He couldn't even speak at this point. He was like an animal, right? His fingernails had grown 7 years, right? And he ate grass like ox, and he came to himself, and the first thing he did was he looked up, and God acknowledged that look. Amen? And his reason returned unto him. And so my understanding returned unto me there in verse 34, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. What a testimony! Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Wow. And himself included. He said, man, I am nothing. I thought I was something. I am nothing. In one statement, it was all taken from him, and he had no idea that that could happen. And he says, and he doeth according to his will, speaking of God, in the army of heaven. What a revelation. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He was saying that before. What do you mean? This is my kingdom that I built with my hands and by my power. And just like that, it was gone. But you know what? Wasn't it better for him to lose it all, to get it all, to get more than what he ever had, to get the relationship that he needed with the Lord? There is no doubt he's in heaven today because of God's great mercy and grace in his life. So notice again what he's saying about this, about our God. He says, none in verse 35 at the bottom, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. So remember, he's reflecting back on this. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellency, and an excellent majesty, listen to this, was added unto me. Isn't that amazing? He says, not only was I as I was better than I was before. By God's grace, I was better than I was before. Verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride. He was one. We all were, right? We all are. He is able to abase. He learned a lesson, wouldn't you say? He never forgot. And he wrote about it. And tonight, God wants us to know that that is a merciful thing for him to do that in the life of a believer, right? In the life of a lost person in this particular case. But see, listen, God, and listen, it's easy to say it when everything's going our way, but God did not even spare his own son. Was his son rejected, the Lord Jesus Christ? Was his son mistreated, lied about, right? And all different kinds of things were said about him, and he certainly, spiritually speaking and physically, turned the other cheek, didn't he? And so, and he was teaching us. And so why would we think that we would escape? Why would we think that that should not happen? We look, here's what they said, ready? I'm just imagining this, right? David's on the run, remember? He killed Goliath, King David. And then they were saying, you know, Saul killed his thousands and David his tens. Oh, that fired up King Saul, didn't it? And then what happened was King Saul went out after him, wasn't he? He was after him. And don't you know, some of the people said, see, that's what happens when you do such things, right? And you get the king on your bad side. And who knows what they said about David, right? And use him as an example of, boy, he must have done something bad to King Saul or must have crossed somewhere. And now the king's after him. And this is what happened. Listen, be careful. You'll be like that giant slayer. And he did not do anything wrong, did he? But he was pursued like he did. And by the way, Elijah was pursued by King Ahab, wasn't he? And the list goes on and on and on and on. But listen, that don't think it a strange thing. We don't ask. We want to be delivered from trials. Amen. We want to be delivered from those things. But sometimes God allows those things to prove us to see, okay, do we trust him, right? Will we be reliant on him? And so tonight, as we consider this account here, we find the progression of God's grace in the heart of pride to humble us and to prove us. Lord, that we might humbly walk with you and trust you and walk in your paths and walk in your ways and not in ourselves. Because if we're not careful, you know, we could say, man, look, I do this, that, and the other. You know, I'm faithful to church. I read my Bible. I do all these things. But the real question is, do I love the Lord and obey him? Do I obey the Lord? And the greatest thing that fulfills all the commandments is the love that God wants us to have one toward another, right? So, you know, that's at home, that's everywhere, that it ought to be genuine, right? And so we cannot manufacture that love, but God has promised to give it, amen? He said, my joy I what? Give unto you. My joy I give unto you. So it's ours for the asking, amen? Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We ask your blessings as we break off for prayer. And Lord, that we might pursue you and trust you and walk in your ways and draw near to you and allow you, Lord, to transform us to your likeness. May we be doers of the word by your grace and power. And bless us as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.